Hello and welcome to the Champions of Digital podcast, where we introduce you to the best digital leaders across some of Australia's most loved brands. We'll talk to them about the role of digital in their organisations, how they're setting themselves up for digital success, and what some of the challenges are that they face in today's environment. Our guests will be interviewed by the CEO of digital agency InLight, Laura Chisholm. Check out our website for more information at championsofdigital.com. But for now, sit back and enjoy this episode of Champions of Digital.
Hello and welcome to the Champions of Digital podcast. Today I'm talking to Catherine Arnold, Head of Digital for Jetstar. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for being with us today. Perhaps we could start by just talking a little bit about what digital means for Jetstar.
Digital at Jetstar is actually quite all-encompassing. It covers most areas. We started as a digital business 13 years ago, so we've had a website for a number of years, but digital branches further than just web and mobile in Jetstar, and it's part of our everyday across the business.
So would you describe Jetstar as a digital business first and foremost?
I would describe Jetstar as a digital retailer.
Okay. And just in terms of kind of where you do most of your, when you do your revenue, do you do that? I presume some still comes through your call centre. What's the split like between what you're kind of doing online and what's coming through the call centre?
It's a really small amount that's come through as a call centre.
Oh, interesting.
It's less than 3% of our total revenue.
Yeah.
About 70% is actually direct on our own channels, both website and mobile. We have a small amount of indirect business, and it differs per market because we operate in Vietnam, Japan, Australia, New Zealand and Singapore. So each country is very different in their mix, but it averages out to about 70% online, which is great for me.
Yeah, well, yes, that's right, being head of digital. I'm interested in how you just described Jetstar as a digital retailer, not an airline, not a digital travel company. What did you mean by a digital retailer?
Yeah, I guess that's our aspiration. People fly on aeroplanes every day on Jetstar, and that's synonymous with our brand. But we sell a lot more than just flights. We sell experiences. So you can come to Jetstar and purchase a hotel or car hire or an activity for where you're going. So it's much broader than just the flight. So we think of ourselves as a retailer in the sense that we're selling multiple products to customers in multiple different ways, and that's part of the experience that we offer.
So I think it's really interesting talking to you about a company like Jetstar, which really is a digitally led organization compared to some of the other organizations that we've spoken to on this podcast, who are traditional organizations that are trying to become more digital. And one of the things that we do talk to people a lot about is kind of their operating models and how they're setting themselves up to deliver in a digital sense. If you're a primarily digital business, what does that operating model look like? Like, is essentially digital the business, or do you have a digital team? How are you setting all of that up internally?
Yeah, so we have a digital team, but digital cuts broader than just the digital team. Digital marketing team, and we have data teams for insights that provide the insights for multiple areas across the business. We have digital aspects that hit our employees as well. So there are multiple areas of the business that focus on digital if we think of digital as an interaction with one person and a device. And that's quite important that it has that broad stroke. We have a digital team that runs the digital assets that are customer facing, and that's where I focus my time and my team's time. So really around getting the right customer experience across our digital channels, which can range from the point where a customer is researching, we're inspiring them to travel, to booking, and actually to travelling as well when flight, and at the point where they're at the airport and checking in. So it's quite broad sense in terms of digital in the digital team, and then it even goes broader than that. And when you start to include employees as well.
So what do you have in that digital team then? Do you have teams that are set up that have kind of designers and developers, product owners, people like that who are kind of creating and evolving your digital assets? Is what's your setup?
Yeah, so the digital team in Jetstar, so my team, about 80 people internally at Jetstar across two different locations, Melbourne and Singapore. We start with product owners who digital experience managers actually own the experience and the design for our customer offering through our customer journey and products that sit within that whole customer journey. But the best thing about digital at Jetstar and my role is actually we get to deliver the outcome as well. So not only do we help envision the ideas with the rest of the business, we define our own ideas, and then we actually have development teams as well that ultimately deliver the outcome, which is fantastic because it's all encompassing.
Yeah, so and you have total control over how you're delivering and what you're delivering.
Yeah.
It is interesting as well, because I think lots of organisations are toying with whether they have everything in-house or whether they should be using agency partners or whether they're offshoring. You say you've got some people in Singapore. What's the Singapore office doing?
Yeah, so the majority of people in our Singapore office, and they're employees of Jetstar, are developers and QAs and a few leader type roles as well, iteration managers, scrum masters in our team there. We have a 50-50 insource-outsource mix. It was probably about 25 internal, 75 external previously, and we've done a big insourcing model over the last 18 months to bring a lot of that IP back internally. But we know we can't have it all internally, so we need that opportunity to scale with our suppliers. So from a development perspective, we have the ability to move up and down with agencies as well as from a design perspective too.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common situation that people have. In terms of your offshore group, what's the driver behind that? Is it around reducing costs or, like you say, the ability to kind of to scale quickly if you need to sort of throw a project to them?
It's probably just through time.
Yeah.
Because we're 13 years old, there are four airlines in the group. We initially took on some of the responsibilities of digital from our Singapore airline that are branded as Jetstar. So we already had a team there, and we just incorporated them back into the group business in order to deliver the outcome as a whole for all of our airlines rather than individually across each of our airlines. So it's come through time, not necessarily cost, because it's not cheaper to have resources in Singapore now as it used to be.
I suppose Singapore is probably not one of the would be one of the more expensive places.
Exactly. So, but we have some really great people up there, and there's a number of people that have been in the team for more than 10 years as well. So we actually have a lot of tenure and longevity in our team in Singapore, which is great.
So you've been in this role for less than a year?
About 7 months.
About 7 months.
Yeah, and I've worked in the digital team for the last 9 years.
Okay.
So I've been part of the team for a long time.
Yeah, so you know what's going on. So what are your key areas of focus at the moment, Catherine?
We're busy with change at the moment. So we're going through some transformation in terms of our ways of working. Mm. We've just come off of the back of transformation of our entire website, both .com and our booking engine. I made the decision when I moved into the role following that large transformation to create a sustainable delivery environment. But in order to do that, we have to go through a transformation of change in the way that we work as well.
Can you describe what you mean by sustainable delivery environment?
Yeah. sustainable delivery environment to me, like to put a label on it, is agile. Actually having agile teams that are empowered to drive the outcomes as a team. I don't want to have to make every single decision on what we do and when we do it. And I'd rather send that down into each individual team. So we'll basically over time create product teams that own a product and then own the outcome for that product to deliver the outcome.
Yep, and we're seeing a lot more in agencies as well as within organisations of this notion of self-managed teams. Is that kind of what you're moving towards, a more kind of agile, self-managed kind of product group?
Yeah, that's the goal. We have one team already, our Club Jetstar team. It was the first fully agile team that we put together. So there is a product owner, a BA, developers and QAs as well in that team, and they decide what is the right thing to do for the Club Jetstar member at the time within the sprint that they're operating in. So they're entirely empowered to drive the right outcome for that customer. They're very connected to the type of customer that they're selling to as well. And it's really empowering for the team, and it's actually great to see that excitement that they have for what they're delivering.
How do you get that kind of change to filter throughout and through the rest of the organisation?
It's hard.
You're still working on it, are you?
We're still working on it. There are ups and downs. There are two steps forward and one step back. Has to be really focused on from a change management perspective, because we're not just – way of working is not just changing, you know, your process and what you do on a day-to-day basis. You're changing how people feel about what they do. For me, I think that's for the better, but there is a feeling of change can be quite apprehensive. And what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my role? So we have to really focus on that emotion side to ensure that people come on that journey. I probably thought it might take us 6 months originally. I probably was being a little bit aggressive. It's probably going to take us a year, maybe 18 months to get there. But you know, the best thing, having buy-in from a team that want to see the change is fantastic. And you just got to work through the process to get there.
Yeah, because one of the things that always comes up is a lack of senior management buy-in for some of these things, or buy-in but no follow-through or commitment to actually allowing that change to occur. So within the senior management team at Jetstar, how supportive are they of this kind of change?
Yeah, so my boss, the chief commercial officer, is really supportive. Our executive board's really supportive. Qantas and Jetstar are moving to much more innovative, agile ways of working. You know, it's part of our unique selling point as an employer. So it's important at an executive level, and that flows through to the organisation. What it means on a day-to-day basis versus saying what it could look like can be two different things. Yes. So we have to kind of work through that process.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest challenges that are out there, that is out there. Speaking of challenges, what are some of the challenges that you find in your role at the moment?
It's a really interesting question. It's having only been in my role for 7 months and having worked in the team for 9 years leading up to that point, the biggest change for me stepping into my role was when do I lead and when do I come back down into the team? And I think as leaders now, you have to be T-shaped. You have to, as my boss tells me, know when to be on the dance floor and know when to be on the balcony.
That's a good analogy.
That's been one of the challenges to when you've worked deeply in a team versus kind of coming above that and knowing how to remove blockers for teams and know when to help make a decision and when to not help make a decision and allow them to organically grow as well. So I'd say that was probably, you know, one of the challenges I've had.
And I think it might often be easy just to come into a team fresh from outside. You've got no history there, and you know, I suppose approach it with some fresh eyes.
Yeah, there's pros and cons for both.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed stepping up. Yeah. It's been interesting, and it's been a roller coaster at the same time. And you know, I don't think you immediately fit into your new role. I think you have to grow into it.
Yeah,
I think that's
I'd agree.
Approach that I've taken throughout my career is kind of continually grow.
Yeah. So you talked about kind of this getting the right balance between leadership and then getting down into the weeds. How would you describe your leadership style?
I would say I'm highly collaborative. I know that one person can't change the world. It takes many, and that's important for me. That I focus on that collaboration, not just empowering collaboration in my team, but collaborating across the business as well. And I think that's really important. I like to say I'm authentic. I'm a little bit silly sometimes. And that kind of comes through, and I think that instills some fun in what we do. I mean, we launched something yesterday and we had party poppers going off in the office just to celebrate what we'd done, because it took 85 people to achieve an outcome. So we celebrate successes, and that's the fun that we and that I try to put in the team. And I embrace change, which I think is really important. not just for me as an individual, but also for my team to see that, you know, change is part of the constant that we have. And Jetstar has a really fast pace, so we're used to change. But I think it's important as a leader to show what that means and lead by example.
So, you know, talking about change, where do you find your inspiration for what you kind of bring into the organisation and try to implement?
For me, and this is the thread throughout my career, my inspiration is the customer. Really focus on what are we doing for the customer. We ask ourselves that question every day. We have tools and methods to enable ourselves to do that. We go out and speak to our customers, and I really encourage my team to do that, because ultimately, if we don't put a product on the website that a customer needs, they won't buy it. And, you know, the effort that we put in wasn't necessarily the right thing that we should have done. So my view, as long as we focus on the customer and they, the customers who inspires me, we're doing the right thing.
Good. So you've been in this role for 7 or 8 months. How did you get here? Like, what's your journey been up until now?
So I've worked in airlines for 20 years. I surprise myself when I say that.
You seriously do not look old enough for that.
Thank you. So I started in a low-cost startup airline in 1997. And the moment I started working for airlines, I got what the buzz was all about. And it's actually really hard to step away from working for an airline, especially in the low-cost sector. You know, there's a perception of, you know, you don't have as much money, so therefore you don't do really cool things. But actually what it does is make you really resourceful. And I think that's been a key theme throughout my career. I've, over 20 years, worked at probably about 50 different airlines.
Oh, wow.
I did consulting for about 6 years in the middle. And I think that really kind of set me up for knowing what it truly means to work for an airline. There's probably only two roles in an airline that I haven't truly done. I have never flown an airplane. and I don't know how to fix them. But there are many other roles that I have done, and I didn't start in a technology or a digital role. I started in the call centre and customer service and at the airport. So I'm quite grounded in what we're actually, the why of what we're doing, which is allowing, you know, people to travel to places that they've never travelled to before.
And I think that's such an interesting career path that you've had, and so different from some other people we talk to when it comes around digital and heads of digital. So there's not many that we speak to that have a deep subject matter expertise of the industry they're in. They've got deep subject matter expertise in digital in some sense. You know, they've been product owners, they've worked in agencies, and they know how to deliver digital products, or have been in digital marketing roles and things like that. But they would come into an organization with that as their expertise rather than that sort of deep understanding of the industry.
How's
that worked for you in terms of coming from a strong subject matter expertise in airlines and then taking on a digital role? How's that happened for you that you've taken on that extra expertise?
I would probably say there's a lot of organic growth about it, but probably from my drive of just learning and understanding more. I have a keen interest in technology. I think that comes from my dad, who's a techie. And then when you kind of add the customer into that, it was actually a really easy step. And it was probably a step change. When I worked for EasyJet, I worked on the operational side of the airline, and I moved quite quickly into technology when I started working for a consulting company that actually delivered technology to airlines. And that kind of empowered me from a technology perspective, and my path has probably been technology driven in terms of how I've ended up being in digital. And that's partly because Jetstar, as airlines, technology is quite embedded in an airline, and all airlines have websites. Even in 97 when I started, there was a very basic website for the airline that I worked for, and it's just evolved. That technology is customer facing, and that version of customer facing is our websites and our mobile and our app. So it's an evolution that's kind of that I've probably grown up with, but probably evolved over time.
So what do you think is going to be the next iteration of technology that's going to impact Jetstar? What are the things coming down the pipe?
There are a few things. I think probably two key factors for us. One, personalization, and the use of data. And I don't want to use buzzwords, but it's really important because it's a differentiator. When you compete on price, you need to have a differentiation in service and what you offer to the customers, and that has to come down to personalization. And then I think the other game changer is voice. Mm. I have a Google Home at home, and I bought it for the purpose of just testing out how that algorithm changes and evolves over time. So I ask it on a weekly basis, how do I fly from Melbourne to Sydney, just to see what it's going to answer.
And is it does it change the answer?
It does change. And you know, Google are prolific in their ability to deliver change in their technology. And it's something we have to stay really close to. And I think, you know, my daughter is a digital native. She's 5. She talks to Google Home on a daily basis. She asks questions like, what sounds do bugs make?
And Google answers.
But that's indicative of the next generation and the way that they interact with digital. And we have to stay ahead of that.
Mm. And I know that there was an article in the newspaper recently around AI and Jetstar using AI to deliver better customer service. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we were quite early adopters of AI. We tend to fly under the radar on a lot of things, and we don't shout about what we do from a technology perspective. But if you take Ask Jess as an example, we've had Ask Jess for about 4 or 5 years.
And Ask Jess is your kind of little customer service.
Yeah, exactly.
Widget that people can interact with.
So she's an AI. She's she has a face and a name to make her really personal, but she is run by machine learning, contextual questions, and she answers our customers' kind of queries on a daily basis. And the channel shift that we've seen for our customers away from calling the call center and providing them opportunities to still speak to, you know, initially our Jess and then through to live chat has seen a really big shift in the way our customers interact with us.
So you mentioned that you have, you know, this Google Home at home. So you obviously love technology. You talked about that before. What role does technology play in your life outside of work?
I wish it played less of a role.
You can fix that, you know, Catherine.
Yeah, I know. Just put it down. That is what my husband tells me most of the time. Technology is all around us, and I think I had this conversation with the other night, even to the point that I have a sleep app on my phone. So technology is never off. And I think that's where, 5 years' time, that's probably where we're all going to find ourselves, is that the technology is always on around us. You know, we all have smart TVs, you know, Google Homes coming into the market, Alexa's going to come in. I have a Thermomix that has a chip that is all computerized at home. Like, it's actually quite, when you actually think about technology and digital, it's actually all around us. And I'm terrible to say that I'm a prolific user of technology and digital in my home.
And for the listeners, I was chatting to Catherine before we started this podcast, and she has an app on her iWatch that just tells her to breathe. Yes, quite pervasive in your life, Catherine. All right, well, I think our time's nearly up, but I might just hit you with a few kind of rapid-fire questions.
Sure.
And just see what you've got. So have you got a favourite blog or podcast or book that you're reading at the moment?
Yeah, I do audiobooks all the time. My favourite right now is Start With Why, with Simon Sinek. I think it's actually really important to kind of ground yourself to why you're doing something.
Yeah, that's an excellent book. Mm. Your most inspiring leader?
For me, it's my original first leader when I first started working, and her name's Barbara Cassani, and she was the CEO of GoFly, and it was purely based on the fact that she was incredibly personable, and she knew everybody's name in the office, and she knew what they were up to, and it just really came across as being a very authentic leadership.
It's interesting when I ask when I ask men this question, and I don't know if it is a particularly a gender specific thing, but men usually refer to Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or these Barack Obama and these sort of big figures, you know, who they haven't met before. And women often reference someone that's had an impact on their lives or in their careers, and it's, they have a very specific individuals and people that they've been close to them that have helped them. And I feel the same, you know, for myself. You know, my most inspirational leader was one who I worked with earlier in my career and just made me want to, I wanted to be more like them.
I think that kind of ties down to just, you know, the key difference between men and women. There's just a little bit more emotion in the way that we probably tackle and think about things. That's not to say that men aren't emotion or have emotions, but I think you're probably right. It's something that we kind of go based on experience rather than something that's esoteric.
Yeah, someone you've heard of. Who do you think's the best digital brand in Australia? Who's doing digital well?
I love realestate.com. I think they have a great interface. They constantly innovate. They think about the customer. And personally, I love websites that are quite white space, room to think and have great call to action so that you know what you want to do. And I think that comes from being customer led.
Biggest challenge that's facing heads of digital today?
I think keeping up.
Move so fast.
Yeah.
And lastly, could you sum up your job in one word?
Exciting.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, Catherine, thank you so much. We've been speaking with Catherine Arnold, Head of Digital for Jetstar. Thank you. You've been really generous with the time and with sharing some of your thoughts. Thanks for being on the Champions of Digital podcast, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
If you liked today's episode, please help us out by reviewing us on iTunes and telling your friends about us. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook to receive regular insights from our champions and stay up to date when we release new episodes. You can also subscribe via our website, championsofdigital.com. Thanks again for listening. This has been the Champions of Digital podcast, and we look forward to sharing more digital insights with you very soon.